buttons. It's your girl, Harley Quinn, a.k.a. Dr. Harleen Quinzel, here to tell you all about It's Like a Podcast or whatever. We talk about nerd stuff and life stuff, and if you want to know what we're about, check out the Powie Awards, our 100th episode, Q and Slay, or Theater from Our Butts. Have a good day, puddins, and love, trust, and belief.
What's up, y'all? What is up? Welcome to episode 62. Are we at sexy 62? Well, I don't know if that's entirely true. I think we're at 62. Let me just check so I don't look like a fool. Yep, I was right. Episode 62 of the number one concert review podcast in the world. Welcome to Catch the Show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, EG. And let me reiterate that this is episode 62 and the last episode of 2019. I want to start off the episode by saying thanks to everyone who has just been supporting the show, has been listening, possibly sharing it. Especially if you've been listening since the first episode or last year or beginning of the year. Thank you. Thank you for supporting the show. And I just ask that if you haven't followed me on my social medias, Twitter and Instagram at Catcher of Shows, same thing, Catcher of Shows on both. Do that thing. Go find me on there and hit that follow button if you haven't. And if you have, then I'm going to ask if you have as well followed the Hyphen Podcast Group social media accounts on Twitter and Instagram at Hyphen Podcast Group. And in case you didn't know, Hyphen Podcast Group is the podcast hub collective crew squad force to be reckoned with that I am a part of, home to some great podcasts covering many different things from comic books, music, pop culture, all sports, off the board with shows like Browns in Our Blood, Hyphen Nation, Isla Pal, which stands for It's Like a Podcast or whatever, a podcast called Fresh, and that's just scraped the surface. We got a bunch of shows on there. Of course, my show, this show, and my other show, The Underground Monster, which is my juggalo underground hip-hop talk, you know, podcast, covering that shit. But, yeah, man, if you are not up on all that stuff, man, with the Hyphen Podcast Group, following any of the shows, you know, subscribe to any of the shows, man, go fix that. Follow us on at Hyphen Podcast Group on Twitter and Instagram. You know, find the shows and whatnot on your go-to podcast service. And visit just the website, too. If you're old-fashioned and you just want to visit the website, www.hyphenpodcastgroup.com. All the shows are laid out there with the latest episodes and all the episodes. It's easy. It's simple. We also have a Patreon to help support the website, support us, but mostly the website. The link is in the description of this show, of this episode. So you go there and become a patron. And yeah, man, that's the basic spiel. The basic opening show spiel. For this episode, and that's pretty much been going for the year, yeah. So, I'm going to try to keep this a little brief, very straightforward and simple. Because this episode we are talking about Post Malone, the Runaway Tour, which we're going to get into in a little bit after I touch on some things that recently have happened in the music world. Of course, probably one of the biggest things to have happened recently is the loss of rapper Juice WRLD. Juice WRLD, fairly successful rapper, he's pretty really on the rise, and he passed away. Was it a week or two ago? I think it was two weeks ago. Let me see. It was, yeah, basically a week ago. Basically a week ago it was. Juice WRLD passed away at the young age of 21, man. Which is just, I mean, obviously sad. That's really all I can say is, you know, it's sad. But yeah, man, Juice, it's hard to talk about something like this when rappers pass away from the two, the big two, I call it, which is either murder or overdose. It just seems to be hip hop natural causes, air quotation marks. And it's concerning, I guess, at this point, because it feels like every year we lose a couple well-known names. You know, last year it was Triple X and Mac Miller. This year was Nipsey and now Juice WRLD. And I hate to be dark or grim or just, I don't know, narcissistic, whatever you want to say, but there's probably going to be a couple more next year. I mean, I guess that's just obvious because, yeah, musicians are humans. They will die. You know, we're all going to die someday. You know, musicians aren't granted immortality just because they are creative and artists. But it you know, I don't want to get into it. You know, I don't want to get into the discussion about drug culture and hip hop or just death with rappers going on right now. Because it's like I said, it's not really going to stop. It's not going to change anything, really. And it's not going to bring Juice WRLD back. You know, it's not going to fix anything regarding him. He's gone. It's very unfortunate because he pretty much just, like, blew up, what was it, last year? You know, and yeah, man, it literally feels like he just came and he just left. And it's very unfortunate, you know. At such a young age. And with a bright future, man, really bright future. I wasn't a big fan of Juice WRLD, but I really dug what he was doing. It with him being one of the quote-unquote emo rappers, you know, really paving the way for the genre in hip-hop, the subgenre in hip-hop of rappers really blending in the trap style with kind of what some people would take as the emo rock or being just rock influences. You know, I really dug that about him, even though I wasn't big into his music. But yeah, man, it's, what can you say? It's unfortunate. It's just unfortunate. And condolences to his family, and rest in peace, Juice. Now to other news. I talked about this in the last episode, basically, and I still have it here. I have it here in my new notes. In my notes, basically, about the news. Motley Crue announcing their stadium tour with Def Leppard and Poison. And now Jonja and the Blackhearts will be joining them. It's simply called the Stadium Tour. And yeah, the first date for it is next year, July 7th in Miami, Florida, at the Hard Rock Stadium. That's where it kicks off next year. And I'm honestly kind of contemplating if I want to go to this. I know the tickets aren't going to be cheap, but I'm kind of contemplating if I want to go to this. There's some other big things happening next year that music-wise, concert-wise, concert-related or performance-related that I'm planning on doing, but just, I don't know, man. I don't know. This tour and the Hell to Mega tour with like Green Day and Fall Out Boy and Weezer. Interesting, man. These rock stadium tours. It is kind of making me wonder if there is going to be a big rock boom happen next year. Because, I mean, something's going to happen. Something new, refreshing is going to happen in the music world, I'm talking about, in 2020. Just something's going to change. Tides are going to change 2020. Just what happens. Don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. But with these big ambitious rock and roll tours, you know, happening next year, it is making me wonder, is rock music going to do something that gets the attention back on it in the mainstream music world? I don't know. It's very interesting. But this tour is now official, man. And 80s hard rock, glam metal, whatever you want to call it, stadium tour is going down. Will it be a hit? Will it be a shit? Who knows, really? Who truly knows? I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know which lead singer of which band it was, but they said something along the lines of, this is going to prove that 80s rock or 80s metal, you know, is still relevant or something. And it was just like, I don't know if that's really what it's going to prove. I mean, I don't think that's really something that everyone was just kind of, I don't know where I'm trying to go with this, but I don't want to seem like a negative Nancy. That's all I'll say on the that's all I'll say on it. And I am a bit intrigued to maybe go. I don't know. I have to look at the tickets. I mean, none of these bands I'm really that big a fan of. I just like them. Like, I like Motley Crue. I like some Poison songs. Def Leppard, if I had to pick one I like the most, it's probably Def Leppard. That's it. You know, I like a lot of Def Leppard's hits. But that's really it. But I mean, I know it's going to be a hell of a show, because Motley Crue's been known to put on a fucking killer show for years. I mean, Def Leppard's even been known to put on an amazing show in their own right. So, it could be really good. I don't know. But speaking of classic rock band comebacks, AC/DC has reunited with Brian Johnson and Phil Rudd, and they have a new album coming out. And the album is supposed to be made up of outtakes from the late Malcolm Young of the band that he had recorded, I guess. And, yeah, man, it sounds pretty much like, the band is far from done, which is, this is, honestly, I have to say, this is pretty cool. Because it wasn't that long ago where it looked like after they got Axl to fill in for Brian. Brian was done with the band. And then after that, it seemed like, okay, well, I guess that's a wrap for AC/DC. But nah, man, it sounds like this is the last thing they're doing. It sounds like they're getting the lineup back together. The most popular lineup back together to some degree. And are going to, you know, put out maybe one more record, or I don't know. But this is very interesting, to say the least. I'm not a big AC/DC fan, but I mean, AC/DC is classic. I mean, whether it's Thunderstruck or For Those About to Rock, We Salute You, you know, or Back in Black, or Highway to Hell, or whatever classic AC/DC song you choose to, you know, as one of your favorites, man, they're a classic band. They're legends. And so this is very intriguing. I'm gonna stop saying intriguing. I say intriguing too much. This is some cool news, man. Cool news, such along the lines of, well, you know what? No. Here's some cooler news, in my opinion. For me. So, bittersweet, actually, I'll set up. It's actually a bit bittersweet. Because one of my favorite bands of all time, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, they announced that they were parting ways with guitarist Josh Klinghoffer, who's been their lead guitarist, for the last 10 years. Which doesn't even feel like it's been 10 years, but it has been 10 years, which is crazy. I remember when they announced that he was going to be taking over after John Frusciante. But, yeah, they're parting ways with Josh Klinghoffer. They said he's a beautiful musician who we respect and love, and we are deeply grateful for our time with him and the countless gifts he shared with us. So, that sucks because, you know, Josh had finally kind of settled into the band, and it seemed like, okay, well, you know, hey, you know, John's not coming back, you know, I think John's cool with doing his own thing, and I think the band understands that, so, you know, we've got two albums with Josh, it's cool, Josh is, you know, he's fitting in, we'll see, you know, it's been a little weird with Josh, but we'll see, you know, we'll see how, you know, things pan out. Maybe by the third album he'll really have been into the groove and the chemistry will be really there, and it's just like no, because right behind that they announced that with great excitement and full hearts, John Frusciante is rejoining our group. Thank you. John Frusciante, ladies and gentlemen, the great John Frusciante, one of the best guitarists to have ever picked up the instrument, one of the greatest guitarists in my opinion, one of my favorite guitarists ever, man who is very synonymous with the Chili Peppers, some of the Chili Peppers' greatest, just the Chili Peppers' greatest hits, period. He is back in the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and the possibility of me seeing the Red Hot Chili Peppers live again with him in the band has now skyrocketed. Because I've seen the Red Hot Chili Peppers twice now, and I've seen them both with Josh. And I would hope that one day I would get to see them with John once again before someone is no longer able to perform within the band with, you know, but it seems like that might happen now. This is some awesome news. I think I tweeted this is my favorite news of the entire year, next to, you know, the impeachment shit, but that's a whole nother podcast. But yeah, John Frusciante, the legendary John Frusciante, in my opinion, the lead guitarist of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, their quintessential guitarist, is returning to the band. It's inevitable, man. It's inevitable. Like Daniel said, John Frusciante is inevitable. Him and the Chili Peppers, it's going to happen. That's just match made in heaven. And hopefully this is it. Hopefully they all realize, hey man, we're never going to fully be done with each other. You know, it is what it is. And that, however, you know, that the next 20 years of the Red Hot Chili Peppers performing and making music is just this. It is just this classic lineup of Chad Smith on drums, Flea on bass, Anthony Kiedis on mic, on vocals, and John Frusciante on lead guitar. Hopefully this is just it from here on out. Because this is how it should be, honestly. And no shade or anything to Josh. Josh played his part well. I liked a lot of I'm With You. I didn't care too much for The Getaway, but The Getaway had some good songs on it. You know, some good songs on it. But Josh did his thing. Josh played his part well. He didn't suck at all. I think he was fine in the band, filling in that void. And yeah, man, he did a good job, in my opinion. He did a good job. But John's the dude. You ask people who you want on that guitar in that band, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be John. And so this is great news. Unfortunate news for Josh, of course. But great news for fans of John and his work with the band. And I'm really, really excited to see what's next. What's going to happen next, man? Come on, man. Tour dates. North American tour dates. Give it to me. I want to know when I'm going to get to see the classic lineup of one of my favorite bands of all time. I want to know. But yeah. And the last bit of news is Chance the Rapper has canceled his big tour. He has officially canceled the big tour. Now, before I really read into what the issue here is, I was originally supposed to see it a few months ago, and he postponed that date to a date in February or March, I think, just early next year. I know that. So I was like, okay, well, that'll be one of the shows I see then, for, and I will do an episode on. Well, now that's not happening again. So pretty much it seems like he is just, you know, let me just read his statement. He put on Instagram, "Hey guys, I've decided to cancel the big tour. I know it sucks and it's been a lot back and forth with reschedules and rerouting, but it's for the best. I'm going to take this time to be with family, make some new music, and develop my best show to date. I'm deeply sorry to anyone with a ticket who has supported me this past decade by coming to a show and rocking out with me, and I feel even worse for anyone who was planning on making this their first Chance concert. Thank you all for an amazing year, and a huge thanks to my team and family for being so strong through this whole year. I promise to come back much stronger and better in 2020. I hope to see some of you guys there. I truly love you, and God bless." Give me a second. I have to plug in my laptop. Plug in the laptop. Okay, and I'm back. So yeah, Chance canceled the big tour. So in that statement, he didn't really give much of a reason why. He just said what he was going to be doing now that he's canceled it. So he's going to spend some time with family and, you know, focus on some making new music and, you know, bettering the show, basically. But he didn't say that he was canceling the tour to spend time with his family. He didn't say he was canceling the tour to work on new music. He didn't say he was canceling the tour to better the show. He just said that, I'm going to take this time to be with family, make some new music, and develop my best show to date. So something else must have been bothering. I mean, there's been postponements, reschedulings, reroutings, like the whole tour pretty much started off rocky. And if I just had to guess, it maybe had something to do with the response to the album, The Big, which was, what was it called? The Big, I forgot, what was the album called? What was it, The Big Day? It's called The Big Day, wasn't it? Why am I asking? It's just me here. Why am I acting like I'm asking somebody? Yeah, The Big Day. Honestly, arguably, my most disappointing album I've heard this year. Was really looking forward to the album. Very disappointing. And I wasn't alone in that basket. A lot of people were a bit disappointed with the album. And I wonder if that became apparent to Chance, and maybe that had some play into him pulling the plug on this tour. I don't know, but, you know, I'll just say it sucks because I was, you know, even though I didn't like the album, I was looking forward to seeing Chance live because I've seen Chance live once. It was around the time it was pretty much during the acid rap era. I saw Chance and he was great live. He was really good. He was really good, really talented, really good performer. Probably one of the best performers in rap today. But yeah, I don't know what to say. I do not know what to say other than sucks and hopefully he's well. But yeah, just sucks. You know, he just kept, you know, just did the postponements and the cancellations repeatedly. And a lot of artists recently have been just really canceling shit. And I get if it's for, you know, peace of mind. So, yeah. But it does make you wonder, you know, man, it must be tough. It's got to be tough being an artist. Being an artist and just trying not to let things get to you, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, that's about it for all the music news and shit. So let's get into my review of Post Malone and the Runaway Tour. I have never really been that big of a fan of Post Malone. I kind of get the appeal, while at the same time I don't. And so I was very curious to see what this show would be. I was very curious to see what a Post Malone concert is. Who is his demographic? How is he as a performer? How's the music translate live? Because I've heard the music before. It's not like I've never heard a song by him. I definitely know his music. But it's just never grabbed me to make me a fan. So I've, you know, this was very much a curious case for me to see. And, yeah. We're going to get into it after this little ad here. And then we will get into Post Malone and the Runaway Tour right after this.
This is Lou Groza of the Cleveland Browns. Hi, Ohio for Cleveland.
What's up, y'all? That's Anthony Sellers.
And that's Eric Jordan.
And this is Browns in Our Blood.
A weekly show where we talk about our favorite team, the Cleveland Browns. You can catch it in video and podcast.
On the /podcastgroup.com. And Moss Long Sound Vision.
So.
Sunday.
I hate y'all. I got like 15 seconds.
this. Alright. Where we at? Where we at? Over here. Hello. Check one. Check two. Check. Check one. Check two. Okay, we're cool. We're in the game. Here to talk about the Runaway Tour by a young man by the name of Austin Richard Post, or as you may know him as Post Malone. Yes, we are. If you are a casual listener of what may be considered radio mainstream music, and you are somewhat familiar with the name Post Malone. Yes, we are now at this point where he's reached status where he has come my way. He's come my way into my neck of the woods with his Runaway Tour. Shall we talk about it? Shall we get into it? Where did this guy come from? How did we get here? I mean, all I remember is you know, there being some kind of buzz about some white dude, you know, another white dude with another kind of rappy, trappy song. White Iverson. I'm sucking on you. If you are a Post Malone fan, it's gonna be that kind of review. So, either buckle up, or the door is over there. But yeah, I. This is another one of those kind of I didn't see him becoming this big. I had a little bit. I figured that this dude could probably, you know, he might be someone we'll still be talking about in the next few years. You know, because the unfortunate truth is, it's very rare, actually, when a white person does black music and they're the one-hit wonder. It's actually more common for black artists, black music, and they're one-hit wonder. I mean, there's a lot of one-hit wonders right now. I can think of just off the New York side of hip-hop from the last few years. You got your Bobby Shmurda, Young M.A., I guess you could say Troy Ave, even though I don't even know what Troy Ave's hit would be. Playboi Carti, even though he's still relevant, but I mean, most people who haven't actually listened to a Playboi Carti album or project only know was it Cardinia or something? What is it? You know the Millie Rock song, basically. You know, Millie Rock is another one. You know, Millie Rock or not, but you know, even not even that. That's what I mean. You got your Trinidad James. You know, Isla McConan. You know, even though, again, like, you know, some of them have more, you know, some are known for more than just the one song, but universally, they're known for that one song and whatnot. Because, I know Ella McCone's got the Lil Peep stuff he's been doing, and then I know Trinidad James, a song I actually liked by him later on after, was it All Gold Everything was a song? Was, you know, Thick, is that what it's called? She ain't fat, girl. Just a little thick. Anything a slim girl could do, he could do it better. Yeah, I actually like that song by Transient. That was my jam a couple summers ago, man. You know, but basically, what I'm saying is, you know, I kind of for a second thought he was going to be a one-hit wonder. Yeah, and then, yeah, I guess it was Congratulations, or just when his first album had been out for a minute. I was just like, he might stick around a little longer. Like, we'll at least get maybe another hit from the second album. You know, which we did, you know, Rockstar, Psycho, you know. I actually like Rockstar. I'm a rockstar. I don't know the lyrics like that. But I could hum the shit out of some Post Malone, though, you know. Yeah. But mumble. I can mumble the shit out of some Post Malone. But yeah. Did not see him being as big as he is now, where he's this. We are about to review an arena tour. This isn't some little club show I caught, or something, you know, like a smaller type of venue or whatever. No, this dude headlined an arena tour. His arena tour. Almost sold out, by the way. It was an almost sold out show. So he's doing numbers. He's a big deal. Which is, yeah, I didn't see the fucking White Iverson dude. What was that? 5 years ago? Like almost 5 years ago. You know, 5 years later, being this, basically taking Bieber's spot. Somewhat. I mean, it's weird. It's different, but at the same time, it's not that surprising. Because as I said, you know, in black music, it's actually pretty rare. Unfortunately, at least for the American side of things. I don't know about the rest of the world, but it's kind of rare when a white artist comes in, does their thing, and they only get one hit. One hit wonder, and you know, the world moves on. Usually, the MGKs stick around, the G-Eazys stick around, you know, Iggy Azaleas normally stick around, you know. And we could maybe argue Iggy Azalea is a one hit wonder, but she's still kind of out there, man. I don't know. We'll, you know, over time we'll see. You know, but if basically that's where I'm getting is, it's, you know, did not see Post Malone becoming what he is now, and with his music, it's one of those things where it's just like, for me, it was like he's one of those artists where I was just like trying to get the hype, trying to get it. Because really, and look, again, Post Malone fans, if you're not buckled in at this point, the exit, you know, exit door is over here. Alright? But, because really to me, it's just a matter of the only appeal I could see, and I don't think you could even consider it an appeal, but the only thing to me is, you know, white dude doing black music. And it sounds legitimate. You know? Still, it sounds pretty dope. You know? For the most part. And that's it. That's the only thing I could see appeal. I don't see, like, it's like, he's an amazing singer. He's okay. He's not bad. You know? But it's not like he's singing, you know, you know, I could say that he's, you know, he can perform well in the booth, you know, certain songs, he definitely sounds like he's singing what he's feeling, you know, or he's feeling what he's singing, but, you know, he's not really, you know, he's not blowing or anything, he's not really singing, you know, amazingly or anything like that, you know, his lyrics are alright. I mean, his lyrics are pretty much on the same par as your average rapper, you know. Bitches, money, cars, jewelry, you know, all that typical shit, basically, even though, you know, he kinda writes from it from a more emotional standpoint. But I mean, it's very similar to what Drake kinda does, you know. Very similar to Drake's style, right? You know, it's not that deep or like, oh man, his way with words, you know, poetic or anything like that. It's on point with the brand, basically, you know. And the music is, it's trap and shit. It's, you know, it's what everyone's doing, essentially. So it's like, you know, and his look isn't all that great. I mean, I will say, he definitely has the most, I don't know how to say it. I mean, you know, dude's kind of chubby. The dude's chubby. He's tatted up on his face and from his face down, you know, and just, he doesn't look like a pop star or whatever, so maybe it's the relatability of, you know, oh, he looks like me, but I mean, he's got more women. His fan base is predominantly women. Though there were a lot of dudes at this show too that were just excited as the chicks. So, I mean, I don't know. I just know that normally, you know, in the history, it's always at least one or a few every era of white artists who do black music and blow up off of it. They don't do anything that new with it or revolutionize it or anything like that. They just do what everyone else is doing. And for some reason, maybe they just do it that authentically or they just do it that right way to where it's like they are the white messiah of the sound, you know. Guess you could, you know, your Elvises, your Vanilla Ices at one point, you know, your Justin Timberlakes, etc. I think Post Malone falls into that category. And if you have a problem with that, hey, that's your problem. But, I mean, that's the way I see it. Just looking at the whole big picture. Not from the outside looking in. I've been inside it. I've listened to his albums. You know, I've now seen his performance. And that's kind of where I still stand it before and after. Still to this point. But with that being said, there are some songs I like by a dude. He's not, you know, that doesn't mean I don't like him. There are some songs I like by a dude, you know. But we'll get into that as I go into the show itself, actually. So, Austin Richard Post, as he actually refers to himself throughout the show, he, you know, refers to himself by his actual real name, and then, like, you know, yeah, I'm Post Malone as well, too. But, yes, so, where do I begin? Well, with the show, let's talk about when I come inside. I'm not even gonna talk about the merchandise. I'm talking about the merchandise. The dude, his merch is on point. That's all it is. I didn't give a shit about the merchandise because I'm not Post Malone fan, you know. But yeah, man, I come inside for all these people, for all these crazy people, you know, and the women. Like I said, it's predominantly women crowd. Specifically, and I'm not going to try to make this about race, but it's a predominantly white crowd. That predominantly white women, white men, and the, you know, the minority of the audience are minorities, as far as I know. But for the most part, white women. That's the appeal he's locked into. Cool, man. That, you know, that white girl money is gonna take you far. I know. Everybody wants some white girl money in the music industry. You want your white girl money. White girl money gives you a career, gives you a 401k, you know, pays your children's tuition. Drake's got white girl money. Kendrick Lamar's actually got some white girl money too. J. Cole, I think he's got some white girl money. Yeah. I think he's got some white girl money, you know. BTS, they definitely got white girl money. Oh man, I think they got nothing but white girl money. So yeah, man. Definitely want to get you some white girl money. If you're gonna be an artist, definitely get you some white girl money. That's just my opinion and my advice to you, aspiring artists, listening to this review for some tidbits and hints on how to run game on the music industry. White girls. That's where it's at, man. That is where it's at. A lot of white girls. A lot of white girls at this show, man. If in case you didn't know, I'm not a white man or a white woman. So yeah, it interests me that there are a lot of white girls at this show. Because it tells me, honestly, all jokes aside, it tells me about what his demographic is, basically. You know, I mean, I'm not in a predominantly white area. I'm in the city, you know. So it was, you know, made a little more sense to me. You know, because really I'm going into this show trying to have as many questions as I have about Post Malone answered. You know, such as, what is his demographic? What's his crowd? You know, what's his appeal? How's this dude perform? How does he put on a show? What does a Post Malone show look like? You know, what does it sound like? Who's opening for him? You know, where are they playing before the show even starts? Like, how, like, all, you know, just all questions about this new phenomenon, this new superstar in music right now, Post Malone. You know, not going in blind, I'm going in with one eye trying to get, you know, 2020 vision. Basically, that's the way to say it. So, yeah, man. So, I got one of my questions answered. Mostly white audience. To a degree, this audience kind of felt to me like most of the audience, not to pigeonhole or put everyone in a box, but most of this audience to me felt like the kind of audience that if he wasn't white, they would not be at this show. Not to make it about race, but I am. Because that's just the feeling. Like, I saw some people in the audience where I was just like, really? You're here? You look like you would much rather be at a Five Finger Death Punch concert. Or maybe even a Taylor Swift show. Not this show that's entire vibe is pretty much trap and R&B. Trap rap and trap R&B, basically. You know. Clout rap, whatever you want to call it. You know, mumble shit, I guess, to some people. This was what the vibe of this show was, essentially, you know. And you'll understand more when I get into the opening acts. But, I mean, even the music they were playing over, you know, sound system was like, it was like Drake. It was The Weeknd, you know. Some Childish Gambino, some Kendrick, you know. I think some J. Cole as well. But it was mostly rap. Mostly rap and R&B, you know. And right before Post came on, they played a few songs. Like, I think they played Pet Sematary, Guns of Brixton, you know. Trying to think, what else did they play? I mean, they played, you know, a few rock songs here and there, whatnot, you know. Because that's sort of the criticism, you know. It's kind of still a Post's alley, which, again, you know, again, you know, I'll get into the, you know, the criticism I've had with him before once I actually get to it. So, but yeah, you know, this was the vibe of the show was on par with a rap show for the most part. It just felt like it was just the odd thing about it was it was a bit of a pop crowd. You know, that was the funny thing I found. But you know. You know. I have a habit of saying you know. That's my thing. I say you know a lot. But, and you probably don't know. So, the stage setup was very different. My seats were pretty much at the end of the stage. Like, pretty much at the end of the set. Like, almost like it's, like, I could pretty much see backstage where I was sitting at. And unfortunately, I was also right next to the pyrotechnics, which did not make this the most enjoyable experience, at least for my hearing. But again, we'll get more into that when we actually talk about post-hitting the stage. Posty, as the crowd chanted at some point, at several points throughout the show. Posty, Posty, Posty. Okay. I guess he's cool with that. So, but yeah, the stage set was weird. It wasn't a full stage. It was almost like really a runway, a catwalk was the stage, pretty much. Two giant LED screens on both sides of the stage, and yeah, the stage was just a catwalk pretty much, and that was it really. It was very simple, so they're saving a lot of money on, you know, on a big grandiose stage being put together and whatnot. Like, really, they're keeping it simple, probably still somewhat expensive, of course, it being a big production and whatnot, because those LED screens were massive, like IMAX almost, like probably bigger than that. I don't know. Like they were massive though. They were definitely looked like I thought maybe they could have like flipped around and become the stage because those damn things were that big. But no, they were just the LED screens, and the stage was simply a catwalk runway with almost another catwalk runway that were lights above it. You know. You can go look up pictures on Google or YouTube, watch vids of the show to see what I mean visually. But yeah, very small and simple stage setup, especially for a big arena show, so a big arena concert. So, first act up was actually a DJ by the name DJ E Nice. He got things rolling. He got the crowd set. You know, I think the first thing he actually played was Sicko Mode, Travis Scott. He was good. You know, they had promo video of him and stuff playing on the screens while he was mixing and whatnot. He wasn't bad. Only thing was he talked a little bit too much. You know, I know what the DJ's got to do. I get what he's saying. You know, he's got to promote. He's got to be, you know, keeping the crowd's energy up together. He's good compared to, like, what was it? I think the Carrie Underwood episode I did. Where he was, where her DJ was... Where her DJ wasn't bad either. It was... I'm trying to remember. Was there any really... big criticism I have him really, like, not really, but this dude was a bit better on the mic, but he kind of talked a little too much of me, because it's like you're talking during the songs right after you drop them, you know, you're barely letting us get into them, you know. But he's good regardless though. So he played a few songs, a little bit, played about, I felt like maybe 15 minutes, even though I think it was probably supposed to be 30, but it kind of felt like 15 minutes, really. This was around 7:30, 7:40, maybe, is when the show started, pretty much. Because this is, he's essentially the show starting, is when the, you know, the DJ E Nice goes up. It does his thing. He brings up the first actual opener performer, which is a gentleman by the name of Tyler Yahweh. Tyler Yahweh. So yeah. Tyler Yahweh. He is an artist signed to Post Malone and Post's manager Dre London's label London Entertainment. So hence why he is on this tour as the first opener. I liked his intro video. It was very a little chaotic, you know. Seemed very much rock star, you know, chaos, dramatic, you know, badass kind of intro. And, you know, even DJ Enix, I think, even referred to him as a rock star, you know, which is the new thing with a lot of these rappers. Ever since Kanye said in that, you know, in that Beats interview, you know, we're the new rock stars, you know. Now every fucking rapper thinks they're a rock star. You know. Hey, embrace it. Embrace it, you know, even if you don't really fully get the rock star lifestyle or persona or what it means. Just whatever. I'm not even gonna get into that shit. This dude Tyler comes out, and I didn't know what to expect, but I was like, hey, this intro video is pretty dope, so he's gotta be good. And basically, he is their typical type of modern day rapper. Mumble rapper, whatever you want to call him, I don't know. Clout rapper, sure, why not? You know, cloud rapper, sure, why not? Trap rapper, yeah, sure, why not? Like, you know. You know, face tats and shit. I don't know. Does he have face tats? I don't know. You know. Does he have face tats? I don't want to dream. Yeah, he's got face tats. Yeah, face tats, color hair, dreads, you know, all that shit, you know. And, yeah. Basically, I'm not going to spend too much time talking about him. Because he was very, very generic. I hate to say it about, you know, a new artist, upcoming artist. But it is, man, it's like there's a lot of people doing what he does. And he's just another one to me. I didn't hear anything or see anything different. That'd be like, hey, we gotta keep our eyes out for this Tyler dude. I mean, like, one thing, you know, that just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I don't think anybody else cared, but for me, it rubbed me wrong with just the rager thing. He just kept referring to the crowd. He's the ragers are saying, you guys ready to rage? Yeah, let's fucking rage, man. Like, look, Kid Cudi started the whole rage shit with rappers and shit, you know? And Travis Scott popularized it again a few years ago. So now it's like, we're raging. We're ragers. It's like, not fucking raging, all right? You're just turning up. You're just getting hyped. You're just enjoying yourself. You're not fucking raging. So yeah, just, you know, that. And then, you know, just the music basically being a bit generic. I mean, you know, there was one song that sounded really good by him, but then the lyrics were shit. Like, lyrics were just, like, the like, I don't know what the song is called. It's something about being high. But the lyrics then, you know, the longer the song goes on, the lyrics just get very generic. And I noticed them because at one point he goes a cappella, as most rappers do at some point in their performances. He goes a cappella and he starts singing the lyrics or rapping the lyrics a cappella, no track or, you know, behind them. And you, of course, get a clear hearing of what he's actually saying. And the crowd claps for this shit. The crowd goes, yeah. Because, you know, that's what it, that's crowds now, you know. Rare do you ever hear anybody boo or just be like, that sucked. That was shit. You know, you rarely hear, boo anymore with these shows. Like, dude's lyrics for this song were like, I fucked another slut or something like that, you know. I take drugs to numb my pain. I was like, oh, okay. I can understand that. That's, and then you follow that up with, I fucked another slut, something done the butt, but okay, all right, you lost me. That was what you would take drugs to numb my pain, but it sounds like you just threw that in there because that's kind of a typical thing in rap now. We're drug abusers because, you know, we can't cope with the world. But at the same time, you know, we're fucking all these chicks and we just got so much hoes and every. Like, there was another line I can't remember. And I was just like, this is generic trite. This is just some generic mainstream rap trying to appeal to someone else's crowd type trite. Like, this is just all Lil Uzi and Lil anyone else shit, for real. It is. And that's, you know, that was another thing I didn't like. I mean, he was in the crowd, you know, run through the crowd, get hype about it, because I guess they're not used to having the artist get off stage and go through the crowd, so, you know, they lost their shit a little bit about that. But I mean, it was whatever, you know. I didn't feel too much originality or uniqueness from this guy, so that was my thing basically with him. Now, there was one part of the show where I was like, this dude's obviously talented. Yeah, I know. I said what I said. But he's got talent. Like, he's got some talent. And so, that came from a song that, again, I don't know these fucking songs. Alright? I didn't know who this dude was until he got on stage. But he had some song that was slower. It was something like Dance Like Michael Jackson. And no, it's not. He did not cover Far East Movement. But it was some song like Dance Like Michael Jackson. And whenever he said those lyrics, he would literally start dancing like Michael Jackson. Like, literally, as if he was maybe a Michael Jackson impersonator before he got into rapping or something. Like his moves were legit. Like, he was doing all the moves. And, like, I'm an MJ fan. And, like, I'm like, hey, those shoulders just like Michael would. You're not playing, huh? You know, moonwalked as well. And his moonwalk was clean. It was nice, smooth. I was like, hey, okay, this dude can dance. He's not, but, you know, his performance wasn't all that bad. This was the moment, though. And that was it. His performance felt long, though. And it was mostly because it was drag. It was because I wasn't that into him. So it felt longer than it, you know, maybe it actually was. But that was it, though. You know, his MJ moves were nice. And that was it. He closed his set by doing that one song I said sounded okay up until you actually hear what the lyrics sound like. He did it again as an encore, basically. And that was it. And he finally left the stage. And that's it. That's all I will say about it. him, Tyler Yahweh. Oh yeah, there was a, he did do a, like a little tribute to Triple X Tentacion, which seemed like it wasn't met with, you know, a universal praise. Like it sounded like some people in the crowd weren't with that. Yeah, I mean, it sounded, you could definitely hear the people that were like, yeah, but it actually kind of sounded like some people weren't fucking with that a little bit, which I get it. You know, he's, you know, I have my opinions of Triple X as well, but yeah, man, he said, you know, he was actually close friends with him, and I'm looking at his Wikipedia, it says he actually toured with him, at one point, so, you know, makes sense, you know, I think he is a Florida artist, and so, yeah, that was his performance, though, that was it. After him was Swae Lee, one half of Rap Duel Ray Schremert, which he also had a very interesting intro video. You know, people were more hyped for him than Tyler, obviously, because he's, you know, he's Swae Lee, he's a very well known artist. And I was interested more so to see what Swae Lee was going to do, because I've seen Ray Schremert open for, at the same place too, open for Childish Gambino, which, there, go listen to that episode. I do have that episode down. And yeah, I liked them. I thought they were really good. And I've never been a Ray Schremert person. I've never been a Ray Schremert fan. But I thought they were really good performers at that show. Like, they really, like, they, you know, them opening for Childish Gambino, I was like, that's a very odd mix, you know, but they took that crowd, and they did what an opening act is supposed to do, get that crowd ready. That crowd was beyond ready, that crowd was hyped, so I was really intrigued to see what Swae Lee was going to do without Slim Jimmy, by himself, because he's been doing a solo thing, of course, you know, and I believe their last album, you know, was a triple album, God knows why, but, you know, it was a triple album that was like one disc, you know, was Ray Schremert, and the other two was their individual solo material, so, you know, yeah, they're doing, you know, they've been doing solo stuff, and Swae Lee's got his own features, you know, on other people's records, you know. So, made sense, you know. Also, you know, he's got songs with Post Malone. So, made sense. You know, Swae Lee is here, solo. Interested to see what he does by himself. Came out to Swang. And it's my meeting with the Swang. How about it, my I'm a man of the swag. And yeah, man, right off the bat, it was pretty much clear, to me at least, this was not going to be anywhere as good as with him and his brother. And that's really all I'm going to say about that. I mean, I really don't have much to say other than that. It was just him, and he had a backup dancer, stripper, not stripper, backup dancer lady that would just come out and basically be twerking and, you know, doing other things behind him, and, you know, it was kind of odd. I don't think it fit. It didn't mesh well to me. 'Cause he still kind of does what him and his brother do when they perform. Like, he's still doing that stuff. He's still jumping out into the crowd, running through the crowd, you know, and all that stuff. Just, there's no Slim Jimmy. It's just him. And it's okay. You know, it's not that good in my opinion. So yeah, I this was just like, it felt less than half. That's what you would think. It'd be like, oh, it's just, you're just getting half of the performance you would get from Ray Schremer, basically. It felt less than that. Like, just the energy was not all there. I mean, his energy was there. He seemed like he was having fun, just like he normally would be with, you know, his brother there with him. But it seemed like it just didn't really, for me, it just didn't work. You know, it's like I saw the best performance of you. Now I'm seeing, like, not really the worst, but, like, the weakest, basically. So, yeah, it was all right. You know, he closed the set with Power Glide, which really did not work without Slim Jimmy. So, yeah, it was a whatever performance, honestly. So, yeah, the openers basically were not that good, not that great. Pretty forgettable, man. Have to say, you know, hate to say it, but yeah, it is what it is, man. They were just not that great to talk about with the openers. Yeah. Sorry. Let's get to the main person, Mr. Austin Richard Post. Posty. Post Malone. Now, I've had my issues with Post Malone here and there, you know. Nothing big. I don't hate the dude or have ever really been like, fuck the guy or whatever. It's just, you know, his comments about rap and shit and his, you know, the observations that have been made about him, you know, basically could be possibly cultural appropriation or just a culture vulture. Who knows? That's why I've always been kind of turned off with Post Malone. It's just like, well, are you ripping off rap music? What are you? What is your intentions here, man? Just to make good music? Fine. But you know what you're doing, right? You know what you're doing, though, right? So, does he know what he's doing? The show starts. Lights go out. Of course, everyone's going, you know, losing their damn minds because they know it's time for Posty. As the show starts, you know, as his set starts, you know, lights go out. Yeah, and the two parts of the little stage is start to separate, one going up into the air and whatnot. He begins to sing Hollywood's Bleeding, the lead single off his new album, his latest album, Hollywood's Bleeding. Not the new single, but the first track, actually. And there's a break in it, I guess. And then Pyro, boom, hits. And of course, as I said, right next to it. I'm right next to it. And this shit is loud as a motherfucker. Like, I had Vietnam flashbacks, and I've never, like, that's before my time. So, that shit was just like, what? For real? You have this right here next to us? Right here next to us? Really? Y'all couldn't push this back further? Behind the stage or some shit? Like, what the hell? Good God, I'm not sitting here if this is what y'all doing all night. Fuck that. Which was the case. I was like, you know what? This is not my seat anymore. I did not pay for this. Alright? Y'all not gonna fucking traumatize me with these explosives near my ear. Alright? So yeah, it was a literal explosive opening to the show. Comes out, crowd's going crazy. he's wearing some one hell of an outfit. I'll tell him. I don't know what, like, he's dressed. I'll say that. He is dressed. That's for certain. And yeah, man. You know, comes out the song, everyone's moving with, you know, bass is booming in the sound. This sound system is made for bass. These 808s are hitting and whatnot. So, you know, it's, yeah, it's, you know, it's the shit. You know, just hard hitting tracks. The sound was well done, I will say that. Even though, you know, most of these rap shows, they don't know how to mix, hold back on the bass in the mix a little bit, you know? They want you to possibly have a brain aneurysm from 808s, death by 808s, death by bass, essentially. Shit just boom, 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 you know, just constantly in your ear hole. Your eardrums are being raped by 808 drums. So, yeah, it's being penetrated audibly from both sides by explosives, pyrotechnic explosives, and 808 bass. And I have to sit and watch this motherfucker on stage do whatever the hell he's gonna do. Because he's got no band. He's got no band. He's got no DJ. As far as I couldn't see, I ain't seen no damn DJ. Can't fit no band on that little catwalk ass stage he's got up there. So I'm like, okay, he's going to perform to a track, essentially. He's going to perform to an instrumental track, essentially. That's where we are. Now, here's where things kind of switch up, because if you can't tell, I'm already not in the best of moods just from the first song. I'm like, all right, well, I guess this is what I'm fucking in for. Here's when things kind of start to change up. All right? Gets on the mic after doing Hollywood's Bleeding. He introduces himself as Austin Richard Post. I'm like, okay. Introducing yourself by your real name. Different, I guess, you know. Elton John never calls himself, never introduces himself as, I don't remember what his name was from the movie, I don't know, whatever, fuck, who cares, but yeah, okay, and he says, you know, I forget what he says exactly, but he goes like, you know, you guys ready to hear my shitty songs, like, I was like, okay, that's kind of funny, all right. So, yeah, he, you know, introduces the crowd like that, humorous, I don't want people to get the idea that I hate him or anything, or that I don't like him or never liked him or anything like that. He's got some charm to him, man. Like, I've watched his, like, first We Feast, like, the Hot Ones, you know, interview where he's, you know, eating the wings and shit. Like, he's funny. You know, he's got some charm to him and shit, you know. But I that wasn't enough for me to answer the question of what is the appeal of, you know, essentially with him. So next song he does is Better Now. Okay, I know this one. I know Better Now. And Better Now. And give you everything. Yeah, if you guys are mad because I don't know the lyrics, fuck y'all. I don't know the lyrics. I ain't no Post Malone fan. This is when I realized the crowd is really here for him as well. Because they knew them lyrics. They knew that shit. They sung that shit like, don't worry, we got you on backup. We got you on the backup vocals. Yeah, man. That they did he did Saint-Tropez from the new album, which I actually, that's one of the songs I actually like off of the new album. He did Goodbyes. It's another one I kind of like off of the new album. Pretty much start running through a few of, you know, most of the songs off of the new album, Hollywood's Bleeding. Really started knocking them out like that, you know, one by one, you know. He didn't do the whole album or all the songs of the album, but he really started getting them out there. When he went to Die, when he did Die For Me, that one, the thing that stuck out from that performance was the lighting. The lighting work, it was really good on that. Like, the lights are really synced up to the music and everything going on in the music at that point, to the point where it was like blinding at some points. It was just like, damn, okay, got it. Your light show is on point. So that was cool. So yeah, lighting is good. Sound a bit overbearing, but not as bad as I've heard other rap shows and shit. And Pyro, disturbing, alarming, but, you know, kind of well placed, basically. And yeah, got the LEDs, so, you know, there's two giant Post Malones beside regular human sized Post Malone. So cool visuals and shit. I'm like, okay, he's got a nifty production here. He's got some nifty production. I fucks with it. Did Allergic, which was like the weird track that almost sounded like he was gonna do Crocodile Rock, which, hey, that's a callback to the Elton John reference I made just not too long ago. You know, the song that sounds like he kind of like he ripping off Crocodile Rock by Elton John. Allergic, off of Hollywood's Bleeding. It's streaming now. Streaming now. All streaming services. But here's where things switched up again on me. He did a song called Candy Paint. I wasn't that familiar with it because it's one of the last few songs off of his last album, Beer Bongs and Bentleys. An album that I tried to get into, but I only made it halfway. Just wasn't feeling it. It's too long for me. Just wasn't my thing. But I didn't hear this song until now. Performance one, you know, with him performing it. And everything, for some reason, just came together when he did this song. The lighting was right. The pyro was kind of right, too. I don't remember if there was pyro or not. The sound was really good. Like the bass got pulled back some bit for this song. The crowd was really feeling it. Like, the crowd was really dancing. Like, people were actually dancing with it. I was like, oh shit, I've been moving this whole time to this song. Hypnotic. Unsuspecting. And then he starts really, really performing. He's really getting, like, he's really moving, like, in the way where he's like, I know I'm the shit. Like, I know I've made it, kind of. Like just, I can't verbally describe it to you in words. The way that these moves, he would start busting out. Because he wasn't really dancing, it was just a swagger he started to exude. But so you have to go up and look it up. You know, maybe go look up on YouTube Post Malone Runaway Tour Candy Paint. Look up that performance if you can. But yeah, he's just starts it's definitely you have to see it to believe it or get it type thing. But he just starts moving on the stage with just sort of the charisma and the swagger of, like, you know, like, I'm killing this shit. whether you believe it or not. And I was like, hey, oh, okay, all right, dude's doing something here. I fuck with this. Like, all right, he's actually, like, really performing. Now, here's the one thing, criticism I do have with his performance, and this happens with every song. There's a thing that a lot of rappers do nowadays that is a pet peeve of mine, has become a pet peeve, and that is the sort of the, I call it the hype up. Sometimes it's the countdown, you know, the one or two, one, two, three, or, you know, what some will do, the hype up is, you know, they'll start to scream certain part of their lyrics of the song that's supposed to sort of give the signal to the audience of, this is where we really even turn up even more, you know, just sort of, and, you know, you're supposed to either jump or something happens, you know, maybe pyro, I don't know. You know, this is something that his openers are definitely guilty of. You know, Tyler, Yahweh, I think Swae Lee did some point. I'm pretty sure Swae Lee did at some point too. You know, they were guilty of doing themselves during their performances. And so, it's a pet peeve of mine. I don't love it. I don't necessarily hate it, depending on how much it's used. Post did too much. Like, even some slow songs, this motherfucker starts going, you know, like, okay, what's going on here? Is there something about to explode? Is the beat dropping here? Oh, there's no beat drop. So are you just screaming just to scream? Like, what do you want us to do, man? Isn't this song here for the chill period? Isn't this song for us to chill at? So, yeah, he's definitely guilty of doing that. He did during this song, Candy Paint. And I was just like, come on, man. Don't ruin this. But you know what? I said, fuck it. You know, do your thing, all right? I was fucking with it, though. I was feeling the moves he was doing. I was feeling the swagger on the stage. I was feeling the song. I like that song. Candy painting. Whatever, you know. I'm young, stunning, I can do what I want. I think that's how it goes. I don't know. Whatever. But yeah. Did that. Needed Psycho. Enemies. And Wow. And yeah, it was a good little run from that point on. I was like, okay. All right. I'm enjoying it. Still haven't been answered what it is with him. But I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying pieces of it. Then he gets to a song that I do really like by him. And that's I Fall Apart. And I can't lie, y'all. Let's sketch the show. I'm EG. I keeps it real with y'all. I tell y'all what happens at these shows when I call them. And I caught something at this show when he did I Fall Apart. Wasn't just me. It was the whole crowd. It was almost like a Holy Ghost moment. This raggedy caveman looking motherfucker started singing this song. I was with him. You said it. No, you said it. You said it. That's what it sounded like he did. Ooh, I fall apart. Oh my heart, I fall apart. But I was like, hey, here we go. That's my shit. I do like that song. There's a few songs off that first album that I really do like. Like Go Flex. That's one he did later on in the show. I actually really do like the song Go Flex. So, yeah. At this point of the show, it's halfway into the show, halfway into his set, and he's got me. I'm at the point of surrendering. I am damn near about to surrender. I'm tying the white flag around the stick in preparation of waving and giving up. Be all right, man. You're all right in my book. Especially after this Take What You Want, which is the song he has, you know, that got a lot of buzz because it's a song he has with Ozzy Osbourne off his new album. Which was cool. He actually had Ozzy in the video on the screens doing his part. And this was a very pyrotechnic heavy performance. I saw it coming, though. I saw it coming with the fire. I was just like, okay, he's gonna shoot the shit out of this, isn't he? So, you know, I ducked for cover, basically. I went to a safety spot, and he let it rain. And I don't know the casualties that were in my section, but, you know, we pay our respects to those who may have been lost during the performance of Take What You Want. Moment of silence for him. Yeah. After that, he actually did really tone it down by doing whipped out the acoustic guitar, as he's known to do. Did the song Stay. I think that's off the first album too. Maybe off the second one, whatever. But he did Stay. Did an acoustic guitar. He was good. You know, I know he's a good guitar player, so that's no question. Yeah, Circles, Go Flex. Like I said, he did Go Flex. I like Go Flex. Did White Iverson. That was a thing. They did, they brought out Sway Lee, as he should have, and they did Sunflower, which is the song they have off the, Into the Spider-Verse soundtrack. Together, they were handing out sunflowers to all the young ladies in the audience, which I thought was very sweet. It was a nice performance. People were enjoying it. People got really hyped when we brought Sway Lee, because I don't know if they forgot about him, that he was there, that they just saw them like an hour ago, or if they were just like, oh, they are gonna do the song together. I don't know, but people got really hyped Sway Lee when he brought Sway Lee back out. You know, and then my platoon was hit with another bomb. Hit with another explosion out of nowhere. Because this motherfucker decided he needed explosions to do Rockstar. And I was like, Sway Lee didn't even get off stage yet before you blew his ass up. Damn it, Post Malone. Damn it, Austin. So, yeah. Did Rockstar, that was dope. I actually liked that performance. Like I said, I liked Rockstar when it came out, so that. And then he ended the show with congratulations and a little pyro here, nothing too loud or crazy, you know, just more quiet stuff, you know. Everyone singing congratulations. My mama called, said you're on TV, said this shit don't change. Yeah, but this, well, I actually like that song too. So he ended the show with some songs that I actually like by him. And the cool thing is when he was done performing the song, you know, as he was about to leave the stage, he really, really heavily thanked the crowd for just supporting him in general and helping him get to this moment. He just really sounded like he was really, really thankful, even though it also sounds like something he probably does at every show, but he sounded very genuine. So it sounds like something he genuinely takes the time to do at the end of each of these shows to really commend and really, you know, give his thanks and appreciation to the damn near sold out crowds, you know, that are coming to, and sometimes probably sold out crowds coming to see him on this tour. And so, yeah, I respected that, especially when he, you know, as he left, you know, when the show ended, the lights came on and he leaves the stage. And he's, come on, my fucking thing. He leaves the stage. He doesn't leave the stage, but he actually, goes through the crowd. Goes through at least the first few rows of the crowd on both sides of his little catwalk stage. And goes through and shakes hands and signs some shit, too. Never seen that. Never seen a show that big in like that. You know, where the artist gets off the stage. And, you know, as the lights are on, it's actually going through the crowd and signing shit and shaking hands. And you know, as he leaves on both sides of the stage. You know, as they play Fade by Kanye West, which he's actually featured on too. And yeah, man, he smiling and shit. And I was like, okay, well, I've given up. I like this dude. He's okay in my book. Yeah, man, that was not a bad performance. That was not a bad performance at all. And I'm iffy with performances like that, where you have an artist and they have no backing man, no DJ. It's literally just them in a track. Or just MP3s, you know. Especially on a stage this big, on, you know, doing a production this big. It's like, you can't afford something elaborate? I don't know. Like, I guess that's just where we're going now with music. But he freaked the shit. He did his thing with it, man. I actually enjoyed it, man. He's got hits. The guy's got hits. Like, he's... Yeah, man. So that was... I genuinely enjoyed that. I thought it was good. Didn't really answer my questions about, like, what's his appeal? What's the hype? What's this? What's that? What's that? What's this? Who's they? And what are those? I still have a lot of questions about this guy and just why is everyone so high on him. But I could just say, in the moment of the performance, he gave me a good performance. And hey, that's what I was there for, basically. So I'm going to give him a C+. You know, for just him just being on stage and it's just him. Not bad. You know, because he didn't do much. I mean, it's just him on stage. Like, he did, you know, and it's a small stage, just a catwalk. So, you know, there's not much to give, not much to really look at other than just him. And then on top, I mean, he's drinking on the stage. He's smoking a cigarette before him, you know, but he gives you something. He gives you something, you know, with his performance a bit, you know, and the music is not that bad. It's not bad, you know, it's not awful or anything. It's, you know, it's listenable. And he gives you a little bit more. So I give it a C+. You know, not bad. Not a bad show. Only recommend it if you like his music. If you like Post Malone, that's the only reason I recommend you seeing the show. If not, no point in going. But if you like some of his stuff, yeah, there you go. All right, so, yes, that was my time, my experience with Austin Richard Post, aka the artist known as Post Malone, Posty. So yeah, that's my review. And if you want to keep up with anything else regarding me and what I think about Post Malone and his hair and what conditioner should he be using, follow me at Twitter and Instagram at Catcher of Shows. That's right, Catcher of Shows, because you just caught this show and I'm going to catch you next time, because I've been forgetting to do that shit. Why have I been forgetting my end tag? Yeah, because you just caught this show and I'll catch you next time, all right? Peace.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and comment. This has been a Hyphen Podcast Network production.
Dirt at Festus. I'm getting paid at exposure.